This is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with us here as we sit under the authority of the Word of God. Word of God, speak to us here today. Lord God, we exalt you. We praise you in the house here today. We thank you for another day. Thanks for waking us up today, or if it's the end of the day, thanks for getting us through this day, Lord. We exalt and praise you here today. We ask for your blessings here on this sermon here today. Lord, speak to us through your word. We listen for your voice. We know where you speak. Draw close to us now, Lord, as we draw close to you. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Okay, we are in 2 Peter here on the radio. This is the second part of this sermon. We're about wrapping up this series here on 1 and 2 Peter. There's one more sermon left. That'll play toward the end of the week. Tomorrow and the next day, you'll hear the sermon I just preached on Sunday. We've just started the book of Colossians. There's four chapters to it. We just started that last Sunday. You'll hear that on the radio here Wednesday and Thursday. So, okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now. We're looking with the Apostle Peter. We're looking at false teachers. We're going back to start today with someone named Balaam. So we're going back to the book of Numbers today, back to the Old Testament, because this was the example the Holy Spirit gave us through Peter. And I'll leave that at that. Let's get into the word.
Likewise, you hear, it says the angels, they bristle. They get very upset when a human being bows down before them or worships them. They have a big problem with that. Again, sore subject up in heaven, bowing down to worship an angel. They don't take too kindly to that. Okay, the next section after doom is the depravity of false teachers. That is how ungodly and hypocritical they are. We're in verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, they speak evil of the things they don't understand, and they will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it a pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. So that is, they excel at teaching their lies among people that don't know the word of God that well, or people that are maybe uncertain, they're newbies in the faith. This is why God is furious at these false teachers that do this. They entice unstable souls, those that don't know the Bible. The Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are classic examples of this. They go house to house and door to door, deceiving innocent people and people that don't know the Word of God, who don't understand that God is not Adam. You knock on 9 out of 10 doors out here and you tell them that God is Adam, they'd say, oh, all right. That's an unstable soul, someone that doesn't know the truth. Or that Jesus is not Michael the archangel. Or that you can't pay to have some family member quietly ushered out of hell. Or that you can't be baptized for your Uncle Joe to get him out of hell, even though old Uncle Joe died a month ago. You see, that is enticing unstable souls, is what these guys do. You sin like this, and it's one, and you're done. One, and you're done. The rest of this verse calls them accursed children. One, and you're done. Don't believe me? Then walk away and prove my point. Or repent while it's still today. Deceive someone like this when someone looks up to you as a minister or representing God and tell someone you can buy someone out of hell, one and you're done. Then you'll walk away when you hear me say that. Then you'll turn the radio dial when you hear me say that, because the Holy Spirit is done convicting you. He's done. You tell someone there's another way to get to heaven and to have eternal life other than Jesus Christ, it's one and you're done. Now, if you might say, well, that's your opinion, maybe that's something entirely different. But to represent God, you people, you come here, you trust I'm speaking to you from God. You put your trust and your faith in me to tell you what God says. All right, now Peter now compares false teachers with the Old Testament pay-for-play prophet named Balaam, the man who rode on the famous donkey, if you remember, and would prophesy against people for cash. Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way, and they've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Some Bibles might say Bosor, who love the wages of unrighteousness. That is, this stuff pays off in silver dollar. You get paid cash for deceiving the people of God. You get paid cash. Fill up your pockets with money for deceiving God's people when people look up to you for the truth. Your condemnation is marked out in advance. Verse 16, but he was rebuked, speaking of Balaam, he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. You know, that's quite the funny story in the Bible. Let's look at it, if you would. Let's turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. And let's pick it up in verse 20. Okay, now God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, arise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. So Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God, all right, now what's not written here is apparently he must have broke that commandment for God to be so sore at him. Verse 22, then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, all right, now, I'm trying to think of what voice do I want to use to do this donkey? Thank you. Who said that? Eeyore. Why have you done this? Well, I mean, imagine this donkey. Eeyore, what have I done to you that you've struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, look at this conversation between this pagan prophet and the donkey. Balaam says to the donkey, he answers the donkey. First of all, what have I done to you? So Balaam says to the donkey, because you've abused me. I wish there was a sword in my hand, I'd smite you. So the donkey says to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you? So he says, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And if that's not bad enough, verse 32, then the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? The Old Testament sometimes, I love these stories in the Old Testament. Why have you, really? Is that what you want to know? The angel of the Lord is the Lord. There's a half a dozen appearances of him in the Old Testament, maybe a dozen, and what does he want to know? Tell me there's not humor in the Bible. Why have you hit your donkey? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. That is because he was selling prophecies for money. The angel of the Lord continues. Verse 33, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I've sinned. There's the difference. Immediate repentance is what's required. When you do that against God, when I do that, you see, God is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish. But when God shows you your sin and what you've done, this is the correct response. I've sinned. That's what he said here. I have sinned. I did not know. You stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, no, you go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, Balaam gave some awesome prophecies. If you read further on, some great quotes that we know came from him. He also had a great vision of Jesus coming when he says, behold, I see a star off in the distance. It's one of the great prophecies of the coming Messiah came from this guy, this pagan prophet, who for whatever reason, God chose to use. But his response is key to see there. Immediately, he repented of the sin that he committed. All right, now, verse 17, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, he tells us that these people have a reservation. The blackness of darkness. Wow, that sounds like a dark place. What do you think? Blackness of darkness is reserved for them. It's like going to a wedding. having one of those little cards waiting for you on the table. Verse 17, these are wells without water. That is, they represent God. They ought to have water in them. They ought to have the water of eternal life in them, but they're empty. They got nothing to satisfy and quench your thirst. They're wells. And no water in there. It's just dust. Wells without water. They're clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I can't stress it enough how those that represent or speak for God are going to be treated different than other people are. Personally, I cannot recall in my lifetime a false prophet who has ever repented or turned from his evil ways. I don't know one. I don't know one. I've never heard of one. Because you need help in order to do this, church. Repentance is a gift. It's a gift from God. God gives it to you. You don't have it on your own. You don't have what it takes on your own, saying to God, my bad. For a life of evil is not going to save you. The early church used to pray for what they called the tears of repentance. That is, that you would have a genuine repentance and mean what you say. To repent, to use a term in the Air Force, is to do about peace. You turn 180 degrees and you go the other way and you leave your junk behind. It doesn't mean my bad and you keep doing what you're doing. It means you respond like this man here. I've sinned. God have mercy on my soul. And just like Jesus said, you see two people, one guy goes, oh, look at me. I give 80% of what I make to the Lord. I go to church 9 times a week. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you got another guy over here, it says he won't even look up to heaven. And just says, God have mercy on my soul. It's the third time this week I've done this. And Jesus says, which one of these two do you suppose went home forgiven? It's the man with the genuine repentance went home forgiven of God. That's what he's looking for, a genuine repentance for what you've done. That's all we've got to do. He paid the price. He paid the price so that you and I hear me today, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, Jesus Christ has paid it all. All to him we owe. Our sin has left a crimson stain. He's washed it white as snow. Amen. Right. I think of Isaiah chapter 1 again. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will cleanse you and wash away all of your sins because of what the Son of God did on the cross. That's the response he's looking for. But you're not going to feel that remorse without God giving that to you. God gives you the ability to have Have you ever met anyone out here today that didn't repent of what they did? There's 4 billion of them out here in the street today. People that kill other people and don't give a rip. People that hurt animals and hurt people and don't care about. That's what it looks like. That's what life looks like with no repentance. Without the Holy Spirit of God leading you to repent. That's what it looks like. It's ugly. It's an ugly scene. Again, that's why I said you can't spend your life living like a devil. And then right before you die, just say, my bad. If you are truly alive, you won't live like that anymore. You can't live like that anymore. I'll tell you why. Because God's got you in his grip. Right? right? How about you? Are you in God's grip today? Question, what are you chained to? Are you a slave of sin or of righteousness? You're chained to something. You're a slave of something. What are you slave of? What are you slave of? Okay, it's 11:30. We can either say goodbye or look at one more section. The eyes have it. Last section, the deception of false teachers, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, what a saying that is. Great swell, meaning they're full of hot air. Turn on your television. When they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones that have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty or freedom, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Like I said, these teachers are just, false teachers are blowing hot air. Great swelling words of emptiness. And they entrap people by the same things that they were delivered from, like offering cocaine or whiskey to an addict, or a lottery ticket to a gambling addict, or a win, place, and show ticket from the track. And they promise you liberty. And the lie they spin to you is like this. Well, you've already been forgiven of all your sins, right? Right? Even the sins you're going to commit in the future, right? Right? So since God has already forgiven you, it doesn't matter how you live, right? Wrong! So eat, drink, and be merry, it goes. And that, church, is when truth plus truth plus truth equals a lie. Isn't that funny? How you take three truths and add them together, other than it's all right to sin. You've already been forgiven? Yes. You're going to be forgiven of the sins you commit tomorrow? Yes. But don't draw the wrong conclusion with that. The Bible says, which they so willingly are ignorant of, and that's this, 1 John 3:6, whoever abides in him, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor has known him. All right, now let me explain this to you. The word here for sin means an ongoing thing. That's why in my Bible and others I've seen adds the words practice, like practicing your trumpet or your sousaphone. Practice. It's an ongoing thing, not someone who slips up in sin, because John's going to go on and say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So understand what he's saying here. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins, present active, whoever continues to sin for a lifestyle, we could say, has neither seen him nor has known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, there's the word, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Let me try that again. Whoever has been born of God does not practice sin as a lifestyle. Does that make everyone feel better? Otherwise, if being here, I'd be the only one in here next week. Anyway, meditate on that for the next 20 years. Here's the last three verses of chapter 2. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again. Notice how much time he is spending on this. These other guys, they maybe give you one verse to beware of. Man, he had a serious problem with these people, with false prophets. Look at all that he's written, more than anyone, more than all the Bible combined, is what Peter thinks about people that are deceiving the children of God. For if, verse 20, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. All right, so my last few words again on this morning. These verses I read to you in 1 John, they seem hard to attain. But this is God's will for you. And praise God, you have got this promise to help you along, okay? Number one, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, God's working in you, and he's going to do this work in you until either he comes back or you die and leave this world. It's not your burden. Which leads me to promise number two. Also out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will, that is to come up with the notion to want to do good, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So that might be what he wants for us. The child of God does not practicing sin. We're not there yet, but keep in mind and always remember that God's at work in you. Both to will, that is to come up with the idea to do good, and the strength to do it comes from him. And he who has begun the good work in you will complete it.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.